right, welcome back. Welcome back. Joe here up top, letting you know that we have something a little special planned for you today. You are about to listen to the first of a short series that is written and run by a new, but I believe now good friend of ours, Alex from RPG Reanimators. Now, we'll be getting back to Impossible Landscapes, don't worry, but I'm glad we had a cool opportunity to hang out with Alex as he just blows us out of the water with his incredible operation. There are a few audio artifacts, so bear with us there on that. But without further ado, here's Alex with episode 1 of Hellhole.
Hello, everyone. This is Alex from RPG Reanimators, and today I'm going to be running through my scenario, which I submitted for the 2023 Shotgun Scenario Contest, Hellhole. It is a cruelty of my own creation, and I'll be running this game for Greenbox Gaming.
Yeah.
Hello.
Nice.
Hello. I guess we can go through. I'm Joe. I'm playing. Are we talking about characters yet? What do we want to do with that, Alex?
No, just talk about yourself.
Okay, yeah.
I'll introduce everyone individually.
I'm Joe. I'll be our players today.
The leader.
Am
of
I
Greenbox
the leader?
Gaming.
That is very unfortunate.
Your name's in the title, so.
The consummate. Consummate is not the word. What is it when you're always stuck with being the GM or handler? The ever handler?
The
forever GM.
The elder handler.
That's our good friend, not Dace. Today. That you're hearing right there. Say hi.
Yes, Dace. Hey, everybody. I like playing games. I like to play games. That's what I'm here. I'm here to play a game.
You came to the right place. John, of course.
Hello. I'm along for the ride again. I'm just glad to be included. That's my happiness.
And of course, Brad. We've already heard.
Yo.
Alex, real quick. This is the first time that the four of us have played together all together.
I didn't think about that. That's true, though.
That's amazing.
One of us has always been running for our group.
Time to strap in because you're in for a hell of a ride.
I'm looking forward to it.
Historic occasion.
Yeah, so we...
Monumental.
So I kind of happened... Or no, what is it? One of your guys, whose name is... Nathan. Listens to our podcast and reached out to us because we're at the end of Impossible Landscapes. There might be an Impossible Landscapes talk through on the Reanimator channel, which
would
is great.
Love to hear that.
Yeah, everyone listening, go listen to the Reanimator stuff. They have loads of cool stuff, primarily kind of GM focused, handler focused, but extremely good. But yeah, like we kind of talked about it and we're like, yeah, let's run something. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be hilarious? And man, I don't know if Alex knows what he got into.
I don't think he does.
There's going to be a lot of puffing of the chest. We got to figure out who's the leader of the group and everything right off the bat.
But I do want to say I listened to the Reanimators do music from a dark room.
Yeah,
which
same.
John led us through, and I loved all of your takes that you had, Alex. And I'm going to hold you to an extremely high standard.
Oh, yeah.
You just have to remember that I'm not locked in here with you.
Oh nice.
Okay. Oh, well, Alex has jokes. All right.
So, Alex, are you normally the designated GM or handler for y'all's group?
I mean, we all run games, but I really love to run games, which is why we got the Reanimators together. It's just like a niche we carved out because, let's get a bunch of GMs with a lot of experience on how to like hack apart games and put them back together. And they have the experience, they've ran for a lot of groups in convention settings. So use our knowledge and share that?
Cool.
Yeah.
I do not have the ball to just go run a scenario at a convention. That's insane to me.
It's trial by fire for sure.
Yeah. Really?
Well, we had talked about, Dace and I were talking about this one time, Lime, and I was like, man, I'd love to do that. The problem is I'm so accustomed to the way we run things. God, we take so long. Like, we take so long to run through shit, to do ops. Like, we just kind of ring them out. But we do a lot of talking to each other as our characters and stuff like that, so it sucks up a lot of time. We enjoy it, you know, and I hope other people
I think with a convention game, you get a better sense of pacing and how to run things through.
Yeah.
I'm predicting right now I can get you all through in 3 2-hour sessions.
Yeah, challenge accepted. Right. Okay.
Write that down.
So there's only three rooms in this entire scenario, right? Is that what you're telling me?
We have a legendary propensity to spend an entire session in one room. Dragging it out. But let's get excited, man.
Right? Yeah, let's very excited.
All right, let's just go. Let's say it is modern day, mid-October. Okay. Now, what is Agent Omar up to when he gets the call?
What city? Are we in his home city, or am I getting?
Let's say this is
call?
New England. New England right, would be appropriate for Cell O.
Agent Omar is probably just scrubbing down his hands when his burner goes off. Which is, you know, right. And he keeps it in a back drawer. He's just scrubbing off his hands and his assistant will ask him, are we all finished here? He's like, yes, go ahead and put them in the cage. And
now, what do you look like?
Agent Omar, he's about, I think I'll just read you what I wrote here.
That's fine.
He looks at first hard and grim as a land from which he came. He has a gentle weariness in his demeanor. He once stood taller, but his age has brought him down to a 5'9", and his poor diet has landed him with a slight belly. His hairline fights a losing battle, and his forearms betray a wide frame, but meticulously maintained hands and nails. He dresses mostly... He has a penchant for American blue jeans and 80s band shirts under his overworn jacket and work boots. He's standing in the back room of a veterinarian's, clinic. And he's like, go ahead, finish up with that one. I have to take this. And he lights
and
up
how
a
do you
cigarette.
Pronounce your last name?
Abrenovic.
Abrenovic.
Yeah.
Okay, so your assistant then turns towards you and says, okay, Mr. Abrenovic, I'm going to wrap this up, and then I got to go. I told you, but I have a date tonight, so.
Okay, well, it'll dock it from your pay, all right?
Oh, no.
It's a joke. I have a good time.
The assistant scurries out of the room, ready to meet life. But let's say you're an old-fashioned type, so you definitely have a pager.
Ooh, okay.
So that definitely beeps.
Okay.
And you get a signal for a dead drop point. Like, hey, this dead drop point is... Something's been dropped off there.
He writes down whatever number it is, whatever signal it is that he leads. He pretty much throws the jacket on. He picks up this pit bull that's been recently sewn back up and sticks it in the cage, still unconscious, and puts some water and closes the cage and says,
sounds good.
And says, sit. To the unconscious dog as he walks out the back door.
And I'm assuming you get in your vehicle. Is it a beat up thing or is it something new?
Oh man, it's got to be beat to hell. Just like an old Volvo or something.
Yeah,
just,
nice.
Oh man.
So let's say you drive that out to this dead drop zone and you kind of move aside some rocks. And there is a letter written there. And when you turn over the text, it seems to be typewritten. There's a simple address. The Soldiers and Sailors Monument, Boston Common, 9 a.m. tomorrow. There is a further line that says, call. I heard there was an opera in town. Response. Oh, really? I heard that they were quite nice this time of year. And then... one last line. Red Sox cap, blue scarf.
Okay. I heard there was an opera in town. All right. Yeah, he will know that this is the code phrase. This is that you give. And he will head off. Or as you said, 9 a.m. tomorrow, basically?
For tomorrow, yes. Yeah. You need to go to the big city.
Okay.
Now,
God damn it.
As you do that, right, as you head off, you kind of crumple up the paper in your hand, right?
Yeah.
We're going to fade to black, and we're going to go to Agent Oscar. What are you up to right now? It's the evening.
He's sitting outside. He's sitting on a log, and he's shirtless. He's topless, and he's sitting there sharpening his knife against a whetstone, just shing shing while the sun goes down, watching it.
Very melodramatic. I do quite like that.
No tattoos.
He's got tattoos. He's got tattoos.
Okay. How did you get here?
So, we do share names. Yeah. Okay. So Jack Hawkins is a Green Beret. He's done a couple of tours of duty.
Badass.
He's just a badass. That's why. What do you do in the evening? You sit and you sharpen your knife on a log.
You probably have a motorcycle too.
And
right?
You make like a Harley Davidson. And you make eye contact with the sun because the sun needs to know.
So after you have your meditation time, you're heading back to your motorcycle, and it looks like there's something tucked in to the mirror.
He looks at it, goes,
sheet of paper.
Oh shit.
Right. And you know that, I mean, only the group really knows you come out here. So it's that same text. The address, the call and response, and a visual indicator of who you are to meet.
Okay. Gotta get done.
And it's gotta get done. That's your attitude there. Wonderful, wonderful. So, next up is Agent Opal. What are you currently up to?
Agent Opal would probably be still at work at the EPA, just like at his desk, working late. He's kind of thin, got like a burly beard, little small glasses, kind of dweeby looking, like gray Skechers, you know, like unfitted pants.
Great.
No and, shirt, still, like John.
Oh, no. In the office?
Covered bold.
Very bold.
Sharpening a butter knife.
Matching tats?
He's sharpening two knives, John. No.
you're hearing footsteps coming into this bullpen-like office. It's your work buddy, Jack. He's like,
"Oh, how you doing there, Jack?
How you doing? Well, you know, same old, Roy. Gotta get this project out.
It's late. It's a late one.
Well, don't kill yourself. And then that's when you get an email.
Oh, okay. Check the email."
And it's something. The subject line is blank, but on the and like it's an unknown sender, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it has the same details as that note. Soldiers and Sailors Monument, Boston Common, 9 a.m. tomorrow. The call, the response, the visual indicator.
Roy was having a pretty good week, and he thought it was going to be an easy one, but he...
And Jack says, "Hey, what do you got there?"
"Oh, nothing. I'm going to be not here tomorrow, Jack. I might be gone for a while, and..."
Wait. That means I got to pick up your slack in our project.
"Oh, shoot. I guess that's right. I'm real sorry there, Jack."
Why don't you give me a charisma times 5 check, please?
Okay,
So you need to get that number or below.
I need to get a 65 or below on a D100.
That's right.
Okay.
Let's see if that happens.
72.
72. That is not good. Mm. So what I'm going to have you do now is roll a D4 and subtract that from the bond.
Oh, shit. Ooh. Right off the bat.
Alex.
Because Jack is looking pretty pissed.
Hey, Alex, you ever heard of a game called Paranoia?
yes.
Where you
I've heard stories.
Where you regularly lose agents and shit before the mission even starts.
I need to roll D4. Okay, got it.
Okay.
2.
And you can just subtract.
Okay.
Jack's pretty fuming. You're pretty sure that you're not gonna be hearing this the end of it from him for the next couple of months.
Fucking Jack.
Left him high and dry. So, Agent Opal, you hurriedly just leave. You vacate the office.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Last but not least, we have Agent O'Leary. It's the evening. What's going on? What do you look like? What are you doing?
Okay, I forgot that my name was Agent O'Leary. But okay.
Something that characterizes you.
Yeah, yeah. So Agent O'Leary is in the middle of a meth deal.
Okay, great.
He's in a back alley with Scraggy Pete. And he just, it's the point of the drug deal where he just gave Scraggy Pete like some meth to smoke to test like the purity of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And while Scraggy Pete is doing this, Agent O'Leary is just like going off on this monologue and he's just like, I was a goddamn war vet. How'd I become a fucking corrupt cop? Came to this town because my goddamn ex-wife has got my kid. I had to move with her.
Shut up and give me the meth.
You always do this. My daughter's got ass cancer.
Dude, the dealers are going to come soon.
Goddamn name spelled Gwen with two N's. Who spells a name with two N's? How is her goddamn mom Marla? And I hate her guts. We were high school sweethearts. And I was a football star.
It's a real environmental contracts
storytelling. Oh shit, a car's coming. A vehicle begins to pull up to the alleyway you're in.
So he like, you know, there's like a soft chatter on like his CV radio cops carry. He's like, he hones in on this. And he looks at the car and he puts his hand on his gun. He's
like, yeah. It's a little beat up old sedan. And in the car is a young woman about college age, completely out of place in this alleyway. Beside her, she slowly just like puts her hands up and she grabs onto, let's say, a purse, a bag of sorts. She pulls out a manila envelope folder, unrolls her window, and just drops it. And just drives away.
Scraggy Pete, you ain't seen shit. Get out of here. By
the
way, I got
meth,
that.
Man.
I got that meth out of a Venezuelan's man asshole. Take it and scram.
And he does. He scrambles out. He meanders away. And that leaves you alone in a darkening alleyway with a manila envelope folder just tossed in the middle of it.
Okay, yeah, opens the manila folder.
Same message.
Yep.
I just want to mention, Alex, you're very fortunate that right there, that Dace didn't go, I wad up the manila envelope and throw it over my shoulder.
That's fine.
And I never look back.
I'm a team player, Joe. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the 90s.
So what's your reaction reading this, Agent O'Leary?
Maybe a little bit of cold sweat. He's like, shit again. He's just thinking about all the drug deals that he's going to have to postpone as a corrupt cop.
God, it's going to all
that.
Really,
oh, man, all that progress.
He's going to have to reorganize so many meetings. You know, we're done with Scraggy Pete, but there's Dirty Dan. And there's
These all bonds? Scraggy Pete.
That's the way you play, Brad. You're the one that has five homeless men. No.
I will say, you've all worked together in the past. I want you to just come up as a group. Like, when's the last time you've all worked together? Like, 5 years? 1 year? 10 years?
Let's say y'all want to say it's been somewhat recent, like a year ago.
Probably. A year's good. A year's
Yeah.
It was about a year ago that I had to get O'Leary's heart beating after he OD'd at our celebration dinner.
God, so much fun.
Awesome. I will write that down.
What if in the character concept brainstorm, like Dale. My character is named Dale Cage. His first contact with the otherworldly was in Reverberations. So maybe we were all involved in the fallout with Reverberations.
Maybe you're cleaning that up. Yeah.
A common touch point. I mean, we also have that reference in common.
Fine by me.
Mm. Nice.
Okay. Sounds good. So you've worked together in the past. And maybe some of you have just hoped to never see each other again. And maybe some of you are looking forward to that next fix of adrenaline. So I'd like to go back to Agent Omar. As you get home after receiving that message, what exactly are you doing to prepare for this operation tomorrow?
Well, Omar, as he comes in, he like hangs up his jacket. His granddaughter like pops her head like into the little entryway. Kira,
right.
She lives with him.
Yep.
She's like in her like early 20s. She's in college. She's born here, and she's like, Grandpa, I've started dinner. And he's like, yeah, I'll be right there. I have to do some office stuff real quick.
Yeah.
And
I want you to roll luck. 50-50.
Who put Alex in charge? Why did we play with other people? Okay, let's see. I got a 24 under 100.
Okay. 24 over 100. That's good. That's really good, because the Broadway show that your granddaughter bought you both tickets for is actually in 2 weeks instead of tomorrow.
Excellent. Excellent news. Yeah, like Petrov like sees them like the counter. He's like, oh, that's right. Oh, all right. But he just keeps it to himself. He's like, I got to go back, do some paperwork, invoices, you know, and just says other boring shit at her.
Okay, so you're going to be at the clinic, the vet clinic tonight?
Well, he's going to step back into his office there in the house, and while he's in there, his little study, and it's all pile. It's really, really dingy. The only thing in here besides paperwork for the veterinary office is a picture of his wife, his dead wife, just on the desk, and he's just going to like move some boxes around, and it's all paperwork. Like, everything he does is on paper. He doesn't have like an electronic system. And he eventually finds a box like at the very bottom, opens it up, there's a pistol, and maybe like kind of like a go bag type thing, but it's all full of medical supplies. It's
yeah,
like
you pick up that pistol, right? You feel the weight in your hand. Have you fired this gun before?
I think he has.
Maybe I'm picturing a long-eyed, like, stare.
Yeah, like this
thousand-yard stare.
This is the thousand-yard stare. Unless we'll even say, let's say it's an old Makarov. It's an old Russian service pistol. And and maybe down in the bottom of it, like, there is, like, a ancient, tarnished Russian Red Army insignia that's at the bottom. And he just kind of looks at it but doesn't touch it, picks up the Makarov, picks up the medical bag. Stuffs
it feels
it
like
all
an
back
old
around.
Friend.
Old friend. But
although one that might be toxic.
But
to
it's
you.
Like the old friend, yeah, like when he shows up to your kid's birthday party, you're like,
you
weren't really invited.
Does Petrov have a name for his gun? Does he name his guns?
No, I don't think he has.
Nah,
he's that
doesn't
familiar
seem like
with
doesn't
it.
Like that.
He's like, he opens it, he like drops the mag, he like looks at it, and he's trying to be really quiet about it. And he just,
like, all the tools you use, this one is killing.
Yes. Mm. Yes. You know, but he knows what Delta Green's about. Like, he knows what's what's going on. But he's like, okay. But then he checks through the medical bag, makes sure it's everything there,
right.
And he puts it
You're
away.
You're just taking inventory.
Yeah, and he's like, I have to, and he goes back out. He's like, Kira, I have to go into the city tomorrow. Someone's asking for some, there's a very sick lizard. Very special lizard that I need to consult on.
Oh, poor thing.
Oh, yes.
Yura says.
Yes.
Is it going to be a long time? Will you be back tomorrow night?
Oh, I don't know. You know, with lizards, sometimes they're very sick. And I do not know, but I might take a day or two, you know, just to catch up with an old friend of mine while I'm up there. But I will leave some money on the in the office in case you need anything. Get some pizza, have fun with your friends.
Okay, so that is a convincing enough argument that I'm not going to ask for a persuade roll. And she says thank you, Dedushka.
Yes, of course. He like gives her like a kiss on the forehead. And like, and they, I assume they sit down and eat whatever meal they've prepared or she's prepared for him.
Yeah.
Beets.
It's just beets.
It's a beet
it reminds me of home.
And he says, I hope Mr. Lizard is taken care of.
Yes, I will. Yes, I'm sure to be fine.
Oh, take a picture, he says.
He kind of... Of course, I take a picture of the very sick lizard.
It's like a salamander in the garage.
He makes a mental note that he had to drop by the zoo and take a picture of a weird lizard. Take a photo.
Also, okay. Can I just say, genius to make your bond your dead wife? I think you really cheated the system there.
Oh, no, you can't make Kira. A bond the dead
She's
person.
Not.
The
it's his granddaughter.
Is not a...
The bond is the very alive granddaughter.
Yeah. Okay, well...
Yeah, I'm going to change mine to...
Dead wife?
His dead wife.
Okay, so yeah, you pack your go bag, which includes your instruments, your medical instruments, your handgun, and you set off into the night after having dinner with your granddaughter, Kira. Let's go over to Agent Oscar to right when he gets to where he needs to be on his motorcycle, his Harley Davidson. So what exactly are you doing to prepare for tomorrow?
Yes, I figure he's...
Right, maybe your blood's pumping.
Yeah.
Like, you're feeling this excitement.
He loves it. He loves it. He's got Danger Zone playing in his head 24/7, and he's pretty much walking. As he goes and he walks to the motel room, he goes and he goes there, he preps, he puts down his go bag, and he starts methodically taking it out one piece at a time, and he takes out his smoke grenades. He takes out his assault carbine. He's got everything packed and ready, and he treats them as these sacred objects to be cared for.
Okay. Yeah, he seems like the type of person that would have fantasies about home invasions.
Oh, yeah.
Done to him, so he can...
Yeah.
No, yeah. Try me.
He knows. He's placing the weapons right in the right place so that when he
Maybe
sleeps...
you're even taking them apart and putting them back together.
Yep. Yeah. He's got a knife under his pillow. He holds onto it. He caresses it at night.
Okay. So, a little bit about that carbine. You probably have that... I'd say because you're a Delta Green agent, you just straight up have that. Like... you probably got it somewhere illegally, but it is not the fully automatic variant, but it is a marksman's rifle.
Cool.
So that's in your go bag. What kind of transportation are you going to arrange for yourself?
I think he's going to just go there on this bike. He's a solo.
Okay.
He's a lone ranger.
So you got like a duffel bag with a carbine, and then you got your motorcycle. Okay, cool.
Well, depending on what state he's driving through, he could open carry it all the way there on his motorcycle.
Not in Massachusetts. No. All right. And we're going to fade to Agent Opal. All
right.
You've just pissed Jack off.
I got to talk real good so I don't roll anymore. No pressure.
Yeah, you have to give a convincing argument.
All right, what was the scene? Sorry.
The scene is you've exited the office in a huff, right? You've pissed off your best friend, Jack, or maybe your office buddy. Who knows if you're best friend. I'm just asking if, what kind of preparations you're making for this opera tomorrow.
He would, you know, just go back to his apartment. A very small spot. He lives by himself with his cat.
Messy? Clean?
Maybe a little messy, I would say. Probably.
Oh. The Bachelor.
Yeah. You know, he's kind of nervous. He's still not, I guess, maybe not as familiar. And I guess, does he know he's going to be working with these guys again or no?
Yeah. Typically. That's the MO of the group.
So he's also very concerned with everyone else being way cooler than him. So I'm imagine he's got like a little fake tattoo.
Who do you think is the coolest?
Oh. I mean, they're all cool.
Oh, it's
I mean, they're all
that's
cool.
A
they're
very
all,
political answer.
They're all like very like compared to Roy, like very manly, like tough in their own way type thing, you know. So he would have like a little fake tattoo he's trying to put on his arm. It's like an anchor.
Like a mom with a heart?
Yeah, or like an anchor and a heart and a mom. Nice. All in one.
I love that for you. Okay, so you're applying fake tattoos to yourself to prepare for this.
As is tradition.
Dangerous operation that might involve you dying.
Um,
good things go bad.
He's also making sure that he's got everything. I don't think he would carry a gun. He's not like a gun type guy. I mean, works for the EPA. He will definitely make sure he has his like laptop.
Okay, you can get access to some databases.
He has, you know, some equipment. Maybe he can take his like hazmat suit and stuff like that, since he kind of works for the EPA. His like
love that. Oh, that is so good.
Protected boots, you know, that type of stuff.
Works for me.
His tree hugging arms.
Right, right.
How do you get to the destination? Do you rent a car? Do you drive your own vehicle? What happens? You taking the bus? Subway?
I mean, he'd probably want to do the most comfortable way possible. He'd probably want to fly there. I'm assuming he's like in Minnesota where he's from.
Okay. Yeah, you're going to have to do a red eye
yeah.
flight because it is tomorrow.
Right.
You're paying out of your own pocket.
Oof. Woofta.
So that does mean you cannot bring any guns on board an airplane. So, right.
Yeah.
Moving on. Last but not least, O'Leary. How are you preparing?
Yeah, I also imagined Brad stole my thunder there with the sad apartment, but Dale is definitely, he's got sad.
Just one of them. Like, I live in a dumpster. I'm
about to. It's a fucking dump. It's got mad, sad divorced dad vibes.
Love
and
that.
He goes into a pantry and swipes off packs of ramen. And he reaches in and picks out his go bag, which has Old Trusty, which is a...
Okay. You are the type of person to name your gun.
Definitely. unashamedly. Joe, what is the 1940 iconic pistol?
The 1911. The Colt 45.
Yep. Colt 45. Old Trusty. He draws out of the bag a bandolier of nips, like airplane flight whiskey bottles.
Sure.
cocaine. LSD. A dash of Liao.
What is that?
Oh,
reverberation.
Okay. Sure.
That's some dangerous shit.
Don't let anyone know you got
a UV scope. If you will actually let me have that, Alex. I'm not.
A UV scope? Sure, why not?
A 1911 pistol.
No. You're crazy.
Why don't you just put a nuke in there, too?
Use that. I have a feeling that Alex's willingness to allow even amounts of this means that we're about to lose all of our equipment.
Yeah, I
think you're scarier dead if on. You don't?
But last of all, he brings out a Bowie knife, and he just, like, looks at the reflection of the light on the blade, and he just says, "Smiley. It's good to see you again." Smash cut to him throwing all this shit into his Mustang, because obviously he drives a Mustang because he's a fucking piece of shit. Former high school football star. And he just like stomps on it, and the pipes are so obnoxious. They wake up everybody in the neighborhood as he careens off into the night.
All right. Wonderful. And I think that's a good time to redline everything and say you meet at, let's say, maybe 8:30 in the morning, Boston Common.
Like a Indiana Jones style, like the map with all the red lines all converging.
You have your portraits on the lines themselves.
But the one for Dale Cage is like really erratic.
Oh, yeah, it's going like this.
It's a bit erratic. Not gonna lie.
It's like some swirls. He goes the opposite way sometimes.
No. I drive better when I'm drunk.
All right, so driving recklessly with cocaine in your car.
He's a cop.
You're just asking.
A gun with a military scope. And you're a cop.
By the way, UV scopes don't exist. I think you mean IR.
That's what the dude told him that he bought it from. He just took his word for it.
Just scratched out IR and put UV. Sells better.
Okay. Yeah, you meet up at 8:30. It is not quite 9 yet. It is a pretty sunny day. It's a beautiful autumnal day. There's vibrant yellows. Not all of the leaves have fallen off the trees yet. There's a lot of joggers in Boston Common right now. And you can see that this monument, this soldiers and sailors monument, it lies on top of a hill right in the middle of Boston Common. So think of this green common area with trees, a lot of pedestrians, surrounded by a lot of skyscrapers because of the downtown district that surrounds it.
So this is like the Central Park of Boston, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's if you've been to Central Park, New York, it is nowhere near the size of that.
Okay.
Think maybe 3x3 blocks.
Okay.
Boston Common.
But very much like a green patch in the middle of the city, right?
That's right.
Okay. Petrov definitely has found himself one of those chess boards, like the chess table that's in the park, and is sat down and is doing that thing where he'll stand up and go to the other side, and he's playing himself while he's waiting for time to come.
Right.
Unless one of you guys shows up.
Any one of you can recognize.
Can I say, Roy comes up to him, he's like, "Oh, I don't know about that move there. How you doing, Petrov?" He's like, goes in for a shake.
He gives you like a pretty firm shake, but his eyes don't come off the table. Like the hand goes out and the shake happens. He's like, "Sit down, Roy.
Yeah,
you're not winning. Just so you know."
Sure. And then just sits down.
And he's just like, point.
I want to see how Agent O'Leary crashes this chess match.
Oh, man.
You know anything about what we're doing?
Well, I don't know. I just got the message, and Roy recites, you know, the message to make sure it was the same.
Yeah, me too. Well, he does look up.
He's
like, "It's good to see you. Are you okay?"
Oh, yeah, it's, I'm doing great. I've been working out like we talked about back, you know, at the last mission. I'm fit now.
At that point, Jack bundles up. He Jack sneaks up just behind him while he's saying, "I'm fit now," and he gives him a monumental whop on the back. Roy, my boy.
Roy's glasses go on the table,
and the chess pieces fall over everywhere. Petrov.
Oh, is that you there, Jack? How you doing?
Oh.
Hello,
Jack. I'm fantastic. It's a great day. It's fantastic today.
This is how Jean thinks all Americans are.
Yeah. Back to work. We're doing God's work today.
God bless America. The glasses. He'll pick up the glasses and hand them back to Roy. He's like, good you're here, Jack. But listen, before Dale gets here, I think we need to talk about what we are doing if he is using again, okay?
Cut to Dale, who's in the bushes, looking at all three of you through his ultraviolet scope.
It's just all white.
And he shakes it, and he's like, goddamn thing ain't working. Please.
Roll luck.
Okay, yeah, I'd love to.
And can I roll an alertness to see if I actually pick up on him?
Ooh, what is your alertness value?
50.
50? You see him.
Okay. So he whispers. He's like, "Guys, he's already here."
Dale's like blind in one eye from staring for like an hour.
The goddamn thing's broken.
You got did you fail that luck roll?
27 on the luck roll.
Oh, okay. Someone actually just got you a military IR scope.
Oh, wow. So you can actually see, heat signatures?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, hell yeah.
He's like Predator over there.
My life.
But also, I want to have this understanding here, because you said that scope, it's attached to a gun, right? Yeah. So you're pointing that at people looking through it.
You're pointing that at
Oscar.
I did say I was behind bushes.
Yes, and Jack,
guys,
Agent Oscar does notice.
He's doing that thing where he's pointing a gun at us, and he thinks it's cool.
I gotta tell you guys, I was real nervous last time working with him. I don't know if I can handle him acting the same way again, and this is not a good start.
We have a job to do. And Petrov turns around, he's like, "Where is he?"
Just right there.
And he turns around in the chair. Dale.
and Dale freezes. He was like, he was making a love poem to his new scope, which he has decided to name Darla, because he's the type of dude that names objects. And he smits and he's like, "Huh? And he like tries to act like he was smoking a cigarette behind a bush.
In the bush.
Fail.
Oh my. Oh. Hey Opal. Hey Oscar. Been a minute.
Or O'Leary. Yeah, that's what he's called. O'Leary, get over here.
Yeah, because you're on an op, you'd probably use your agent name.
O'Leary.
O'Leary.
Been a, what are you fancy me? Okay. What's going on?
All right. And this at this point, God, it's like, Will so Gang's awkward. All here.
He's so awkward all the time. Like, he says this out loud. Why is he so awkward?
He's got a gigantic pistol with a scope
stuck in the back of his pants.
Of his belt, and it's just, like, bulging out.
I hope you have your badge.
Are you currently in your police officer's uniform?
No. Civilian clothes.
I will let you know that I don't think Massachusetts is open carry. It's concealed carry.
You might want to put your badge on.
Well, even if he puts his badge
it's
on,
still
it's
still a
not
problem, right? Yeah.
You got like a bag you can put that in there, O'Leary?
Yeah, totally.
He puts it right next to the Coke in his bag.
Right next to my Coke.
Roy like Alex sees all the shit in his bag and he just like starts sweating.
As he puts his pistol with the gigantic scope in his bag, you see all the paraphernalia in there. For just a second he's like, yeah, that's probably smart. Ain't no hostels in the area. You know, I've been doing some research. I saw every one of you come.
Omar is so
at least the law of 30
right now. Like already. He's just
I'd like to know who has a law of 30.
I have a law of 40.
Okay, well then I'll give you this information. You are really lucky right now that there's not a lot of people around.
Oh, I know.
Otherwise you'd be in deep shit.
I know we might not be from around this area, but I can tell you right now, O'Leary, you do not want to do that again.
Yeah, no, I just,
And I have a feeling, cocaine's illegal, too.
Well, is it illegal to have a good time?
No!
Jack, do not encourage
me. You gotta be honest to the man. You gotta be honest.
Where is our, at this, like...
You're at the bottom of the hill.
Petrov, he's like, alright, let's...
What time is it?
Let's head over to this monument.
It's approaching 9.
Where are we heading? Our contact, the monument. Sailors, soldiers.
Yeah. All of us go at one time, or one go and the rest hang back, or...
Yeah, good point, Roy. Why don't you go over there and bring our contact over here?
No! It's me. I've got this.
Roy, please go with Jack.
Fine.
All right. And Roy kind of is like, tries to lift up his shirt a little bit. Like,
show his tattoo. Yeah.
So, from my understanding, only half of you are going up the hill?
Petrov's
like, let's all go. All
right. Yeah, you all got all the right. message.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Guys, wonderful.
It's weird. So, it would be cooler if I went up the hill just by myself, but I guess we can just all go.
We don't want to split the party. It's a headache.
Fine.
I'll tell you what, Jack. You take point. We'll cover you.
Yes,
right
sir.
Right behind you, brother.
All right. Again, Petrov is just so tired of this already.
I can't. Roy, roll an alertness to see if he sees our contact or someone that might be the contact.
No need, because you know what to look out for, so okay. No need to roll. You do see someone sitting on a bench in like a light jacket wearing a blue scarf and a Red Sox cap.
Gotcha.
The person's like an Asian man. It looks like he's sketching something on a notepad.
Roy points him out to Jack. I think that's our guy right there.
Jack just bounds over.
Wait, Jack.
Jack's already gone. He's out of earshot.
Damn it.
He's gone. And he bounds over and he sits down. And he like slaps the guy on the back. And says, I heard there's an opera in town.
Oh, really?
With a massive smile on his face.
I heard that they were quite nice this time of year.
And then he says, Red Sox cap, blue scarf.
That's right. And like you all approach, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy. This is the guy.
See,
and he says,
I see
"My friends.
I see you have met our friend.
It's been a long time since our time at the university. It's very, very good to see you again. Why don't you get together and I'll do a nice sketch." Please stand right there.
Oh, he gets his notepad. Of course, we will stand here like...
Give me a little pose.
Oh, Jack's in front and he's just flexing.
Would you prefer nude?
No,
I don't think so.
All right. Do we know this person? Is he our typical handler?
No, he's not your typical handler.
Actually, let me ask this. We have a typical handler we work with.
That's not me.
No, I mean, like, okay. Oh, wait, is this you?
Meta joke.
No, it's not.
It's Alex.
Is Alex Sun sitting on the...
I am not sitting in Boston right now. I'm sitting in front of my computer doing a podcast for Greenbox Gaming.
I'm questioning everything now.
I don't know what's happening.
Oh, uh-oh.
But so, you've never seen this person before.
Okay. Yeah, but you know that the group sends people out. Okay, their designations, if you're part of a cell, people giving out the missions would start with the letter C.
Oh, okay.
And he continues as he's sketching. Remember Sally from calculus class? She's been in town, and I'd like you to check on her and help her out. Sally, she says she's helping out a member of the board. So once you check in on them, perhaps you can convince the board member to support our project if you can. He could be very useful to us. But I would be careful because you never know about new people. And he folds up the piece of paper and simply hands it to you, Petrov, Agent Omar. Now, there's a weight to it when you touch it.
Okay. Oh,
it feels like a key.
What a beautiful caricature that you have done. I like how you have put me on a skateboard.
He's just walking away.
That's great. Thank God. Bye. All right.
Well, what does it say?
Then you open the note, and it says, Sally equals Jillian Walsh, friendly, ex-army, current city engineer. And it has an address for Jill Walsh. Board member equals Simon Gao, a city councilor and mayoral candidate.
Ooh.
GB, Chinatown. It has an address in Chinatown. You think it goes with the... E that's currently in your hand, and there's a note that says use codes and phrases, and this is signed by Cho, which includes a cell phone number.
So that's Cho and that's our handler.
And what was the board member's name, did you say?
Simon Gao.
He put it in like the
that we got text. In the chat.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Oh, okay.
And the
okay. He, and just to say to recap what he said, I'll just paste that in the chat too.
Nice. Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Now, if I only knew how to access the chat.
Oh, I see it.
Okay. All right.
God bless him. He's a really, really good welder and blacksmith, guys.
he's like a mole seeing the sun for the first time. I found the chat.
So it sounds like we're not sure if we can trust the Simon Gao dude, but our handler kind of wants us to persuade him to help out DG, the organization.
Yeah, to have a councilman / potential mayor in the pocket of this organization would be extremely powerful. However, if they're not on board, then that's it's going to get fucked up.
Hmm. Yeah.
This seems... really weird for a Delta Green operation, right?
I don't know. He's just being very cautious. I mean, we're out in public.
Yeah. Let us find a place to sit down privately. We can talk.
Maybe somewhere without so many eyes, especially given what Dale's carrying, our agent. What's your name again?
O'Leary. How about a pawn shop? I know a good few places around here.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Are we going to a pawn shop?
Yeah.
We just need to go somewhere. We need to get some privacy.
Maybe there's a pawn shop near Chinatown. That's in the direction we need to go anyway.
You do have the address to GB, which means green box.
Gotcha.
Oh, yes.
That would be private.
Listen, yes, Wendley, go check out this green box here. maybe there is more information there that we can go off of.
And guns.
Yeah, I like pawn shop better, but all right. Green box, let's go.
On the way there, can Roy do like an internet search of this council member to find out anything that might be useful?
Yeah, of course. So there's just some information that's for free. So he's currently campaigning to be the mayor, the next mayor of Boston. He is a second generation Chinese American. And he's pretty progressive, and his changes would benefit the middle and working class citizens. Yeah, but you don't get his address or anything.
Okay. Just his kind of shtick.
Yep.
Roy's not ignorant, and he's what do I have to roll to see if I can find any dirt on him? Because he knows that might be something we could use to persuade him over to the operation.
Yeah, you can definitely at this time make a search roll then.
Okay.
Yeah, and let's say like you're just on your phone.
A 27 and my search is 60.
Whoa! Okay. What's going on with the EPA?
So you find just some articles that might get you some leverage. Just giving you this information. He seems pretty clean. However, there's other, like, no man's an island.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in one, like, small article that you managed to find, he's basically visiting, like, an elementary school. And he has a picture with his son,
mm-hmm.
who's, like, 8 years old.
Okay.
So his son's the dirty one. Caught up in all kind of shit.
I think the implication here is that if we need to twist his arm,
if you want to go down that
path, yeah,
we do not
and
have
that will cost sanity.
Things do not have to get fucked. That dark right now. Listen, what we have here from our friend Cho, our handler in this situation, he says that we should check in with Sally first. We have an address, perhaps address before Green Box.
Well,
you're close to the Green Box now because you're in Chinatown, which is close to Boston.
If Roy had a vote, he would want to go to the Green Box first, but obviously.
Hell yeah. Get some guns, baby.
Green Box it is.
Green Box guns, gummies.
O'Leary.
Jack knows what he's talking about.
O'Leary, maybe we can drop off your cocaine while we are there.
Yeah, for safekeeping. Or we could just do it.
There are other ways to dispose of cocaine.
They can't get it if it's in your blood. That's what my daddy always told me.
All right,
and that's probably why I am the way I am.
Yeah, so
I had a really bad upbringing.
Let us not unbox your childhood trauma at this moment. To the Green Box. All
right. So as you take a stroll towards that Chinatown address, you enter Chinatown proper. It smells like piss and cigarettes. There's few people getting ready for the day, selling fruits and food from sidewalk stalls. And when you get to the address itself, it's leaning down an alleyway. There's cardboard strewn everywhere, a dumpster that smells like shit. And then there's like a door at the end of the alleyway. Sketchy as fuck, but that's your address.
Mm.
That's the place.
Well, this is your door there, Jack.
That's the place. And he kind of walks up to it, and he gives like a,
Actually, real quick, Alex, question for you: would we know each other's first names?
Depends. Like, it's not protocol, but since agents can become closer to one another to cope with the stress of the unnatural, they might reveal personal information.
And we are a very, very unprofessional group, so I figure we've let our names fly so many times.
Had to have. We've been caught. We made an attempt to use our agent names, and it was just like...
Roy doesn't even know Dale's agent name. He's never said it.
So he's gonna...
I don't know, like, is this door... I don't know, can we start rolling some alertness stuff? Like, is this door being observed? You know, like, do we need to worry
What's your
about
alertness?
Shit like this? So Petrov's alertness, not his best. No, his alertness is 40.
Oh, 40 is good enough. There's no cameras or anything. Okay. That's for sure.
Okay. It seems
all
purposely,
of the higher windows,
purposely
yeah,
in a
shuttered.
Weird way place to see.
Of course.
Okay, excellent.
Mm-hmm. Can Dale, in his high paranoid state, roll an alert is for tails?
Ails?
Tails?
Oh, is yeah. What's your alertness?
70.
No need to roll. Lord. There's no tails.
That's okay. Very high. We're all very
alert. We do have this key. Here, Jack, go ahead and open the door.
I got this. Key,
approach the door.
I'm already making you nervous.
I will stay back
you're
here.
You're sketched out because of
this. I don't know what you're worried about, and he just jams it in the
I'm
keyhole.
I'm sure there is no reason for a green box ever to be trapped.
We get this at the beginning of missions, Petrov. Let's go! And he unlocks it.
Okay, so you stick the key into the door. It's a metal door. It's got a bit of heft to it. And it kind of creaks open. And you can see that it reveals a darkened stairway. One of those stairways that curve upward.
Hmm.
Up to the second floor.
Oh, so Jack steps back a little bit. This is causing some recurrent trauma. So he's like,
It's dark. Sand all over again.
The stairs?
It's dark.
Yeah, the stairs are dark. The lights are off.
Never fear, Jack. Old Trusty is here. And he whips out Old Trusty out of
his
backpack. With his IR scope. And okay. Goes up the stairs looking through the IR scope.
I'm right behind you.
So you go up the stairs. You completely ignore the
light switch.
Yes. 100%.
And you start to tactically breach and clear the staircase. Who turns on the light switch?
Roy
ain't
will.
Ain't no predators
here. Roy just like, he just flips on the light switch.
God damn it.
The shock of the light so kind of hurts your eyes because you're looking in through IR.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Sorry, there, Dale.
I can't see shit, Roy. Fuck. All right. You're right. I should have done the light switch. I just got this thing. It's really fucking cool. I'm sorry.
It's really cool.
I just wanted to make sure.
Right. At the top of stairs, there's another door.
I got this.
Dale shoot.
Shoots the door.
No.
You can shoot the
door.
Don't
shoot. No, he doesn't shoot it open. Dale opens the door.
Okay, right, you open the door. And now this looks like where a lot of stuff is stored. So just to give you an idea of this green box here, there's a lot of cardboard boxes, but there is one prominent thing in the middle of the room that kind of throws you off. You've seen this before, Agent Omar.
Stripper.
This is a straight up MRI machine in the middle of the room.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Like the giant... It's a giant tube.
Yes,
it's a giant steel tube.
Huh.
You recognize it for what it is.
Whoa. Or one stripped down. Have you ever seen one that doesn't have the casing
the
on it?
It?
It's just like
wild.
A crazy,
yeah.
Like...
So there's just a straight-up MRI machine in this room, as well as a bunch of cardboard boxes.
Huh.
God,
there's a layer of dust on everything.
Ooh. Where the hell are guns?
You're welcome to start opening up boxes.
We can...
He starts searching.
We roll a search roll?
No need to search because there's no stakes. I'm not gonna have
Roy will look for
Does anyone have demolitions?
Yes.
What value?
40.
Okay. So perhaps you've used this in the past, but in one of the boxes, you know the US Army uses it. This is a reel of detonating cord.
Det cord.
It's nicknamed det cord. Yeah. And there's just a roll of it.
It's explosive. It's explosive rope.
Hell yeah.
Oh, nice.
Got me some.
There's a reel of det cord.
Used for what? Just breaching random spots or
whatever you'd like to use it.
That's the beauty of it.
Oh.
Yeah, and who else is searching? So that Jack finds the det
cord. Roy
Petrov is going to be looking at the machine, but if he's once he is satisfied that it is just an MRI machine, he will then look around as well.
Right. So it's an MRI machine, and as you're looking it up and down, you can tell that it's not plugged in or anything because that requires, like, I believe 240 volts.
Yeah.
Industrial power. So thank God. Because if that thing turned on in here, everyone
if it had been used in this room and it hadn't been degaussed, if it hadn't been demagnetized, everyone's guns would have flown out of their pockets and gone into the middle of it, right?
Like, that's correct.
Don't trust it.
There's no random pentagrams on it or anything like that.
Nope. It just it's a little rusty, but it looks like an MRI machine. Dale, O'Leary, are you looking in some boxes?
Yeah, got a super low search for a cop, but
I don't care about your search, man.
Not right now.
You okay. Open no, a box. No stakes.
Okay, yeah. Open and a box. I'll open a box.
You find, let's say, it looks like almost like a crossbow without the strings, but and right next to it. But this crossbow, it's hooked up to a shit ton of wiring. And there's almost like a quiver of 6-foot-long rebar segments.
Mm-hmm. Is this a harpoon or a grappling gun?
Who has physics? I know the EPA dude has physics, Roy. This definitely looks like some kind of Gaussian rifle.
Oh, wow.
So it launches magnetized pieces. Oh,
Roy will tell.
Shit.
But also at the same time, it might not be reliable because it looks pretty
You need to be
shot.
Very careful with that one, Dale. It's like a...
Yeah. No, I'm a...
Maybe give it to Jack. Oh, no, never mind. Maybe give it to Omar. I mean...
No.
Omar doesn't have a big gun yet.
So this is the part where Joe, out of character, is like, why are we being given this?
A lot of magnet type stuff.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And last but not least, let's say Roy's looking through one of the last boxes, and there's a box full of those foam grow capsules for those foam dinosaurs.
Mean the ones you put in water and...
You put it in water and it turns into a foam dinosaur. And you know, I think that's the perfect cliffhanger.
How are the dinosaurs?
Roy's like, we need to see. Holy shit, guys, take a look at this ominous music.
And I think that's when we're gonna bio break.
Well done, Alex. That was cool. That was great.
Very well done.
Super great job.
Thanks for dealing with our bullshit.
Oh, don't worry. We have another hour to go.
Yeah, we have another hour of bullshit.
We're looking forward to it.
Congratulating you halfway through.
All right, everyone. That'll be it for this one. And I won't give you the normal spiel here, but rather, why don't you head on over to RPG Reanimators, either on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts, for some really cool deep dives into horror adventures from Delta Green and Call of Cthulhu and loads of other game systems as well. Please join us next time as we continue into the depths that Alex has prepared for us. And remember, as always, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.